Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, happy Friday. My Lord, it's Friday. Aren't we? Look at us.
Yes.
We have a room full of happy people.
Are we
we're
happy,
all
Ron?
Back. Yes, we're all back together again.
Couldn't be happier.
It's been 8 months since the four of us have been here on a Friday.
It has.
True. Yeah. Kelly's been gone.
He
Amy's been gone.
He was gallivanting around naked in grease.
John and I
naked.
Have had to hold down the fort. Great job, John.
Could've
you
gone,
and me.
Could have gone all
did
day
Did you guys do
that.
A whole week together?
We did two Fridays wow. together. And we then did. An entire week.
Is wow. that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
wow.
Brad Young was in for
when
one
I
day.
Fell off the stage.
Yeah, what John happened? Almost died yep. One of the days we were...
At Cardinals Nation?
Yes.
What? Oh, my gosh.
You had an on-site broadcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
he
you almost fell off? Is there
I
any video of this?
I didn't almost fall off the stage. I did fall off the stage.
Yeah. So he didn't fall down. You stumbled. And
I
then
stumbled
you...
and got a boo-boo
oh
on my
hand. Oh, my
hands.
Gosh.
Boo-boo.
His hand is still bleeding.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have thought your athletic prowess would be such
well,
that
I,
you
I
could...
Did. I did manage to use the
Starsky
wall
and Hutch
to, you know...
Did everybody gasp?
Well, everybody... It made a loud racket. I heard it. I turned around and went, what is happening? Back there is
did
he okay
go,
well there was a stair on that thing and who knew there was a stair
well you did because you walked up it
and I'm yeah I was backing off of the stage not knowing
I'm sorry
it was an actual
this.
Stage
that's
and
actually then, horrible
it was almost tragic
yeah but we didn't what? Lose John he's still here it's the Chris and Amy show
messed up my back
you,
a little
you
bit
think you think you could file the workers comp
I thought about it as I was limping to my car
you might be able to you could probably sue Ballpark Village
nah
and
honestly,
the Cardinals if you want
I nah. wouldn't mind.
Suing
bit,
the Cardinals?
A little bit of a slip and fall. Not the Cardinals, but Odyssey, probably.
Well,
a little bit of a slip and fall.
I think that would be...
I could use a little extra money, is all
yeah.
I'm saying.
Well, you got to go see if you qualify under the workers' compensation.
You can call that guy that's on the radio here all the time.
Going into our bathroom
Lance
sometimes
Drury?
You can qualify
no, he's
for
that's your taxes. This is the guy...
Onder.
Bob Onder.
Well,
Bob
or the guy and his wife and their kids are all lawyers...
Oh, Morgan and Morgan.
Yeah, that's
Morgan. You
Morgan.
Need
oh, yeah.
good attorneys.
Yeah.
Call
but if
us
I,
at Morgan.
Because it's like if you have a slip and fall. So if I slip and fall in the bathroom, for instance.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yes.
I could
well,
walk away.
This bathroom definitely okay. could be considered a work hazard. Safety issue.
Shall we? shall we start the show?
We should.
You know, we
let's,
can.
Let's go ahead and start the show.
All right.
Right now.
Yeah, let's go ahead and start it.
Here it is.
Now for the top of the order, the top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Well, the former director of the FBI, James Comey, has in fact been indicted on two federal charges. We will discuss with the boys here in a moment.
Hey, they're having a grand opening for the NGA campus.
Finally.
The much ballyhooed NGA campus. It opens today in North City.
Right there on Jefferson. The Cardinals will start their final series of the season. This is it. They play at Wrigley Field this afternoon. 1:20 is the first pitch, and it is the first of the last series for 2025.
The first of the last.
Which is kind of sad.
Good weekend to run up to Chicago, though, if you've got the weekend free, drive up there and go in and see the Cardinal game. It's not like the stadium's going to be full.
Well,
you what are you talking
know.
About?
You think it's gonna
Wrigley?
Be, yeah, you think it's
going to
be full?
They're going to the playoffs, man.
Yeah, so you don't think I can pick up a ticket if
oh,
I
you
were
could
to
totally pick
there,
up a
yeah.
ticket. Like, you probably have to go secondary market.
Yeah.
It'd be
but, I mean, there's nothing better than, like, spring and fall in Chicago. I mean, it's like
it
spring
does.
And fall in St. Louis. But it's, you know, it's everything New York is without having to go to New York. That's what I love about it.
So, I hate to start the show like this, honestly.
Okay.
Well, then
so,
don't.
Well, I feel like my curiosity is superseding any desire I have to put on a good show. Do you guys prefer the troughs at Wrigley Field versus the individual urinals?
Yes.
You like the trough better?
I like the trough because the problem with the individual urinal is that it's a limited amount of people.
Yeah, you could really squeeze
you
in there.
You can squeeze some people in with the troughs.
Yeah.
And
okay, but what if you, is it, okay, you know how there's all these rules for urinals? So I've heard. What if you're bumping elbows with somebody?
You make the problem.
Yeah.
Here's the problem.
The
elbow's not the problem. Here's the problem. I've got a friend of mine who works with the police, and he's one of these blood splatter experts.
Where is this going to go?
Okay, so I know where you're going to go with this because
so
I think it's my
splatter in the trough.
There's too much splashback. Yep.
I mean, who wants it?
Gosh.
Who needs it? And there's another reason why you should never wear shorts.
But the troughs that I remember, are they the silver troughs that they have?
Well, you're the one that asked the question.
Because they also used to have just like a whole wall. That was just like a wall that you would aim at, and then it would slide down the wall and like go into.
No, that's like the grade school urinal. No, this is
grade school's a wall.
It used to be like a real tall sort of thing.
Well, from your chest.
From like your chest all the way down to the floor.
Yeah, and then you would aim at the wall, and then it goes down the. Is that not how it is?
No. They got the silver trough. It looks like a feeding trough.
Listen, if you're having to use the real facilities at any ballpark, you probably should go home.
I would just...
Because the diseases you might run into, et cetera. I mean,
you can use a bathroom at a ballpark.
I meant if you're not well, if you're feeling well, if you've got a stomach issue going on, it's best to get out of a big public
That's not what the trough is for, though.
No, I get it. So when it comes to using the trough, who cares? You're in there just to get it out of you and go drink some more.
Here's one bit of advice if you do go to the trough. Yes, you're going to have to look out for splashback, but I would advise you not to compliment anybody's watch.
Huh. My father, may he rest in peace.
Okay.
Loved him. Season take PSA holder for the St. Louis Rams.
Pumpkin spice latte.
And, and he was famous. This man could go to a football game, get there early, sit there through, and it's a good 3+ hours. The man never used the bathroom.
Did he drink a beer?
Yes.
Several beers?
Not several. He'd have a couple, probably.
Yeah, and he could hold it the whole time.
Yeah, Dad was remarkable.
Well, did they call him the Camel Hancock?
He was the man. Yeah.
Yeah, he could hold that liquid for a long time.
It was impressive is all I can tell you. Mm. Very impressive.
But you're right, though, Kelly. It's going to be at Wrigley Field today. If you are on the way to Chicago listening to KMOX, you're going to get 78 degrees
Think
at
about
first
that.
Pitch.
Think about that.
78 degrees
and sunny.
It's like a
Ferris Bueller day. You guys remember that movie?
Yes.
It'll be good as a remake.
Who's pitching today for the Cardinals? Anybody know?
They're not using a pitcher today.
Oh, well, there you go.
They're eschewing the pitching position.
It's Miles Michaelis is pitching.
Ferris Bueller, do you think it would be a good remake?
Aren't they remaking it? Or are they doing a Ferris Bueller 2 or something?
That does sound like a classic.
I got to believe he's graduated by now.
Yeah, I think he is. Well, I think Matthew Broderick's getting the judge roles in most shows now. He's so old.
I think he's I think he's on the Van Wilder plan. He's on his 37th semester of high school. So Greece was good. Michael went to Greece.
Lovely,
Amy was gone. She's been back. So
yeah
it was lovely. My buddy John always talks Greek to me because he's married to a Greek lady.
I am.
And I now have total appreciation for the islands of Greece. The food is incredible.
Yes.
I even learned how to say some of the words that John, mangles here.
Moussaka.
Yeah, moussaka. And it was a lot of fun. Couple of takeaways.
Mm-hmm.
The Europeans, I don't care if it's Britain, Germany, or Greece, they have not figured the bathroom out.
Really?
They have not figured it out. They don't know how to properly place toilets. The showers are always convoluted. They don't have water pressure.
Yeah.
You may have. I don't care if you're in a nice place or a not nice place. We've all traveled to Europe. They have never figured the bathrooms out. That's number one. Number two, I think bras are no longer an article of clothing that's being sold in many places in our world, Greece in particular. And
why?
I don't know. It was hard to not notice that nobody wore bras. And the other thing would be that on the beach,
there is
no, I don't care if you are 2 years old or you are 80 years old, There are no longer swimsuits for women that cover the rear end.
Here's a guy that as he ages and he's going to hunch over, his eyesight, well, his eye line of sight is not going to change a lick.
I got that.
I did it too. Thanks for pointing that out,
yeah, buddy.
Oh, but that was goodness. My big takeaways
oh,
of the
that
people.
Was great.
It is noticeable. Well, we're not going to, again, I just hate to start the show like this.
Well, why? But you've done it.
Well, you know, I feel like you guys don't help. But as Michael said, boobies are like fireworks. It doesn't matter. Everybody has to look.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're attracted to them or not. It's
everywhere.
Just like, oh, whoa, look at that.
Yep. If somebody said, oh my gosh, there's a topless man over there, nobody looks. Oh my gosh, there's a topless woman, even the nuns look. Everybody wants to go and take a peek.
The nuns would look. That's a great point. Even the nuns notice.
You know, I'm getting dangerously close to needing a bra myself.
The man's ear.
Yeah.
It's a bro.
I hate to say it.
I know, not to suck up all the time, but one last thing.
Yeah.
We came back on that nonstop flight from Frankfurt to St. Louis, which is an awesome flight. Grateful we have it. We stopped in Frankfurt and went to the Oktoberfest. And if you ever have an opportunity or you're ever considering being in Germany around the time that Oktoberfest is going on, I really encourage you to do it. It was one of the best times I've ever had. It was so much fun. It was one night. We were in Germany all of about 12 hours, five of them at the Oktoberfest, and it was just a blast.
Why
and
are
it,
they having that thing in September? Seems like that doesn't like make Mardi a lot of sense to me.
I think they build it up.
Well, call it something else. Don't call it Oktoberfest if you're going to do
Christmas
it in September
time.
For the love of Pete. I mean, that's, you
oh,
know.
Oh, this is a good point.
That's like, that's
I've
like
always
saying
been
the,
confused by that.
The Ides of March is in April. No.
Yeah.
No.
I think it's like Christmas time. Christmas is a season. Mm-hmm. Oktoberfest is a season.
Well,
but I feel like it's, I mean, it started a week and a half ago. Because they had Oktoberfest in Colorado weeks ago.
It's a misnamed event.
It is.
We start Christmas in November.
Well,
yeah,
that's
we do.
Different, though.
Down
it's
hall.
Not called Decemberfest.
Exactly.
Well,
I'm with John on this
yep,
one. I
I'm
think
with
he
Amy.
Makes an excellent point.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a season that leads up to Mardi Gras. Everybody realizes it's not
that's
Mardi
right.
Gras.
It's not Marchi Gras. They don't call it Marchi Gras.
Yeah.
But sometimes Mardi Gras it starts in February. I mean,
fine.
People just get
yeah.
so.
But there's
October
not a month
Fest
in
is just
name.
A season. I agree.
Then don't you can't put the date in the name
wasn't it
if
October,
the date doesn't correspond.
Maybe Oktoberfest started before the month of October was a thing.
To
maybe
celebrate
it's called
the coming of October.
I'm pretty sure
maybe that's
October's
what it is.
Been around since old. What's his name? What was his name?
Octavius.
Julius Caesar or whoever it was.
Octavia?
Octavio Dotel was a pitcher for the Cardinals.
Oh.
Well, we may not have
Frankfurt,
but we do have Frank Ladd.
Hey now.
Well,
aren't we glad?
We are.
Hancock and Kelly with us on a Friday.
Wow.
They're with us for the entire 9 o'clock hour.
I might just leave now.
There's a snort.
We've got Scott Jagow on the show. Tom Pagnozzi's going to be on the show today at 11 o'clock. Part of our no prize football pick'em today. He is our celebrity picker, former Cardinals catcher Tom Pagnozzi. And also we've got Danan Hughes talking Kansas City Chiefs. They finally won a game. And Danan's with us at 11:30. A lot coming up on the show today. Thank you for being with us on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hancock and Kelly, it is a Friday on the Chris and Amy Show. They are with us until 10 o'clock. And gentlemen, we did learn late yesterday that the ex-director of the FBI, James Comey, was in fact indicted by a grand jury. And it I don't know, from everything I have seen so far, most things I have seen so far, a lot of people are confused by this indictment and certainly are confused about what it means moving forward that this was done. And the president basically said, I want this done. And then it was done by the Department of Justice. How do you see this event?
Well, it's unprecedented for a president to publicly call for somebody to be indicted, at least so far as I know. One thing I've not seen anybody talking about yet is, now, I suspect this case is going to get dismissed, but if it actually goes through to a trial, James Comey is a former member of the FBI, is under a whole lot of strictures about things he cannot talk about. And that would include whatever knowledge he may have had from whatever was uncovered in the Russia investigation, for example. And I believe that as part of his criminal defense, he will not be under those strictures. So this could, you know, this could be end up being fairly embarrassing for the administration as the thing plays out. But I sort of suspect the judge is just going to dismiss the charges.
Interesting that Comey is one of the few people in this both sides world that we live in that has both sides who don't like him.
Yeah.
Typically, people have been, you know, put into a camp. I mean, the Democrats despise Comey and feel like he threw the election for Donald Trump and Donald Trump point
in 2016.
Yeah, in 2016. And so he's hard to be a sympathetic figure, but it's obvious that the president's moved heaven and earth. He directed his attorney general on social media. He replaced the Eastern District federal prosecutor, put in this Lindsey Halligan, who is his attorney. My understanding from precedent, when these types of indictments come down, that usually the federal prosecutor in the region doesn't even sign those. It's signed by the people who did the actual investigation. She not only signed it, only by herself. None of the underlings would participate in it. She went and presented that to the grand jury. And a lot of people say that that is very uncommon. It just feels as though, is this the start of more of this kind of stuff? Because Donald Trump feels like he has a grievance, that he was targeted. Now, we can sit and go through the nuances and the difference of the federal prosecution of him for in the documents case as opposed to this. But a lot of people view this as like vengeance, and this is great. My question is, where does it stop?
So their belief is, or at least, I don't know if they actually believe it, but what they have said for years is that Biden directed the Department of Justice to go after former President Trump. I don't believe that to be true at all. I think they acted independently. Yeah. They believe that it was the president. So this that sort of seems to set up, you know, down the road, Trump doing the same thing back to them, and then everybody going, well, see, if it's good for one, it's good for the other. I don't know that these two are the same, are they?
No.
No, I do think the New York criminal case that Trump was eventually found guilty, I do think that was a political charge.
Also not Biden, though.
He has no, it was right. It was a New York district attorney.
Right.
Yeah, I do think that was a political case, and I think it was a bad case, and I think it set a bad precedent. The Georgia case, the RICO case in Georgia, I think was an overreach for a prosecution. And at the time when that was all going on, you may recall, my point was those political cases, A, set a bad precedent, and B, their existence undermines the credibility of what I consider to be a very significant case, which was the documents case. Hundreds of classified documents. And that case never ended up seeing the light of day. But I think a lot of people kind of lump all of those in together. And that wasn't the Justice Department per se pursuing Donald Trump. It was a special prosecutor. It was a special counsel that was appointed by Merrick Garland. He also brought charges in D.C. on the January 6th matter, which, you know, it's never got litigated. So nobody knows if those charges were real or not. But the documents charges were and are real.
John, I always want to be some kind of voice of hope that things can turn around. But right now, I do feel very disheartened with the vindictive and petty nature of the indictments that we're seeing. That you could say, oh, well, you know, tit for tat, this is what the Biden administration does. Well, who's going to bring down the temperature? And second, I do think there is some real tumult within the Republican Party regarding free speech. and it's dividing the Republican Party. Pam Bondi made her egregious statement, which she realized was a huge mistake when she said there's free speech and hate speech. They're two different things. No, they're not. And she walked it back. Trump didn't. The fact that Trump didn't walk it back, do you see a split in the Republican Party regarding free speech?
Not right now. I mean, there's disagreement about it, but none of this stuff ends up falling, you know, spilling over on Donald Trump within his base. And this is a presidency that's unique in that the president really has little concern about speaking to the public, to the Americans. His concern is focusing on and buttressing and inspiring his base of support. And that's what he's done. And that's the one thing that's consistent between Trump 1 and Trump 2. He's not somebody that's persuasion is not necessarily, you know, in his bailiwick. He wants to reinforce his base, and divisions that exist in the country are useful for him in that process.
I'd add one more thing that he wants, which is vindication. And he's been saying that since when he was running all along, in retribution for what he believed happened to him. He said during the presidential campaign, I'm going after these people. We're going to throw these bums out, etc. And so I think you're spot on with what you said, John, but I think we're also seeing a Donald Trump who, be damned the consequences. He doesn't care if this breaks the larger dam and going after Hillary Clinton. And he doesn't care if Bernie Sanders becomes president and goes after the underlings. I mean, I just worry that we've crossed a Rubicon here that may never come back. But how many times have we said that over the last decade or so?
Hancock and Kelly with us on a Friday. It's the Chris and Amy show. Major Garrett is with us every Thursday just after 10:30. And he said something yesterday that was striking to the two of us and would like to get your thoughts, gentlemen, on what he had to say. With us until 10 o'clock. Again, Hancock and Kelly on the Chris and Amy show, 104.1 FM KMOX. Fish?
Yes.
Sounds like
yes.
Fish.
It is the fish.
Yeah, thank you.
Is this where he plays the vacuum cleaner?
No. Who's that?
No, you guys are talking about Fish the Band.
Yeah.
And John's talking about Fish the Song.
Yeah.
And this is Yes the Band.
Yeah, Fish.
Is this song called Fish?
The Fish.
Oh.
But
is this Fish
yes.
the Band?
No, this is Yes.
It was a total miscommunication that I got to watch everything happen.
This was a real Who's on
like
First
fish.
Conversation.
It sounds like Fish.
Fish? Yes. Yeah.
Well,
no,
that's,
yes.
That's why it's called
yes,
the Fish.
Fish.
Yes.
Yeah. It's, no, it's Yes.
Third base.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
That was fun.
I was making a joke that it sounds like Fish.
I thought it was Fish.
You mean Fish like the jam band,
yes,
like the
P-H-I-S-H.
Grateful Dead. You meant Fish the song.
The Fish.
And the band is Yes,
yes.
Right?
Yes. But so when Matt said Yes, Fish, I thought it was Fish, the band.
No, it's The Fish.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, this is too much levity. Let's bring it down.
All right.
Cool.
All right. So we chatted with Major Garrett, CBS Chief Washington Correspondent, yesterday. And we were talking about what we just talked about a few minutes ago, James Comey and the indictment, and this vindictive approach, this personal grievance approach to prosecutions, to getting people fired, and so forth. I brought up the tit-for-tat mentality. Well, hey, your guy did it to my guy, so now it's my turn to do it to you. And we asked Major Garrett about this, and I thought he had a really good response.
I said there are parts of American politics right now that feel like no one forgives and nobody forgets. And he said, well, that's sort of the story of the Middle East for the last 60 or 70 years. Nobody forgives and nobody forgets. And if nobody forgives and nobody forgets, meaning you never forget something that a rival did to offend or bother you, if you never forget, if you keep a list, and that list never has anything erased from it or forgotten or forgiven, but it only gets longer and longer and longer, then your grievances grow deeper and deeper and deeper, and your unwillingness to compromise or seek common ground becomes even more pronounced. He said that's one of the inherent problems of the Middle East in all of its various ways it plays out. He said if that becomes a part of American politics, you will find it increasingly difficult to move even on small things, let alone big things.
Sounds about right to me. I mean, I don't know that I have any disagreement with him.
Just looking at the future of Congress, looking at the future of our two-party system, because as you guys have said, we're set up for a two-party system. People may not like it, but that's the way our government is structured. It's the way it's going to be. But if those two parties build such a deep resentment that they can never work together again, that fundamentally destabilizes the structure of the government.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it's deeper than the forgiveness, forgetfulness thing. It's if you go back to the 1960s, there was a fairly significant ideological overlap between Democrats and Republicans. And that overlap began to narrow. And so that by the time Ronald Reagan was president 40 years ago, there was an overlap, an ideological overlap, but it was pretty narrow. Today, there is zero ideological overlap. The Democrats have one bell curve and the Republicans have another bell curve and the two do not meet. And so you've got, we have realigned ideologically in the country, and there's really no such thing as a conservative Democrat anymore, and there's no such thing as a liberal Republican. I mean, people get called liberal Republicans, and the irony of that is that the folks that this regime is calling liberal Republicans are, in fact, conservatives.
Who, like me.
Yeah.
I'm a rhino, I guess.
Yeah. But that's as big of a part of this problem as the personal vindictiveness.
And it's compounded by the fact, I mean, John and I have been in this, but you've been in it longer than me. Let's say I've been professionally at it 25, fighting with him for 20 years running races. He and I used to have competitions against each other. I'm going to be working in four or five of the most consequential elections that the region's going to have, and I won't be fighting a Republican. It will be Democrats on Democrats and vice versa. I mean, we just had a gubernatorial election that was about Republicans. And so in this time where we have this disdain for each other, it's being driven even further by these partisan primaries where you're trying to sow that discontent and further drive it apart. And you don't get any even reasonable choices.
So to me, it seems there is really only one solution to ending all of this. And I don't think the solution is going to play out because it takes literally everybody to participate. And that means all of the moderates who are out there, and most of the public claims to be moderate. That means moderates have to participate in primaries.
Yep.
If you don't want the craziness anymore,
yep.
If you don't want it, you have to participate in primaries. If you think the candidates are nuts, then you need to go out there and vote for people who are more like you. And if you don't want to do that during a primary, then you're going to get the crazy candidate and you're going to say, well, it's my party. I'm going to vote for my party. So I guess I'll vote for the Democrat. I guess I'll vote for the Republican. Even though that Republican is crazy, I'm still going to vote for them because I can't vote for a Democrat.
It's not just moderates. It's all these people that swing back and forth. You know, there's a large chunk of the electorate out there that only votes in November of presidential years. They don't vote in midterms. They don't, you know.
It's most people.
It's not most people,
isn't
but
it?
it's a good chunk. And those folks ideologically might be all over the spectrum. They're not just necessarily moderates, and they're swing voters in there that kind of go back and forth. But you are right, Chris. If more people participated in primaries, and look, most of the political jurisdictions in this country, the vast majority of them, are either Democrat or Republican. And so if look around us, St. Louis County, whoever wins a Democratic primary is going to win countywide. St. Louis City, same thing. St. Charles County, it's just the opposite. Whoever wins a Republican primary wins in November. And so voters who want to have a voice in picking their leaders ought to recognize which primary is going to determine who the elected official is and get involved in it and vote in it.
Yeah.
That does solve the problem. If folks believe there is a problem, that would certainly address it.
And it's a hard pill to swallow for some people. Therefore, they check out. I mean, I couldn't imagine if I lived in St. Charles walking into the primary and saying, hey, I'd like a Republican ballot. I mean, it's hard for me to do. But if I really wanted to have an impact on who's going to run St. Charles, that's exactly what needs to happen. As somebody, you know, and vice versa. If you're a Republican and lives in St. Louis County, sure, you can go vote in the Republican primary, but it ain't going to decide who runs your county. Well, and so if you think the nut that's running the county, wherever it might be, is too nutty, then you better participate in that primary. And that's unfortunate.
It's really hard. Why is it so hard to get people to want to do it, though? Because they don't think it's important enough. at the time, maybe they just don't understand how important primaries are, well, or they think that, you know, I'll come around whenever it's time for the general.
Isn't it because our whole mentality has become so federalized? I mean, almost every debate we're having is around this larger national debate, and so much focus has comes on to November that people are fired up for November, but they don't realize all the decisions are being made in the primary times. Happens to be August here.
80% of the elections in this country are decided in the primary period.
That's not good.
No. Well, it's neither good nor bad. It just is. And, you know, and as the parties themselves have become more ideologically homogenous, more and more people don't really fit in to either one. And so a lot of people, you know, who may have been historical Republicans or historical Democrats, don't really feel part an affinity to what those parties are today. And the natural reaction to that is just to drop out and not participate. And I think we're seeing that. And so that exacerbates the problem of the more extreme candidates prevailing in these primary elections.
People feel hopeless and helpless,
but they're not. Yep.
But it's really hard to convince millions of people of that.
Thomas Paine, you remember him?
Common Sense.
Yeah.
Yep. He wrote Common Sense, and he had gotten to America in 1774, and not long before, you know, all heck broke loose out there. And what he discovered is that the people who had been now for generations living in the colonies just assume this is the way things are. The king's going to do what the king's going to do. There's nothing I can do about it. And his little pamphlet began to inform people that they actually had some control here. They actually could make things different. They could change. They had the power to change their reality. And a few of them got it. And that pamphlet spread, and a few more of them got it, and then people who mattered got it, people who had economic interests got it, and within a span of just a couple of years, we rebelled against a system that many thought was just inevitable. Mm-hmm. And I think that's we're at a point in time right now where people need to recognize that we do have power here.
Well, and it's where you and I are at. I mean, right? Yep. I mean, we've come to the recognition. John mentions it. You know, St. Charles is a Republican county. Well, we've got to make sure that we're picking the right Republican. City of St. Louis is a Democratic city. We ought to be invested in making sure we're picking the right Democrats, because the system that we've got right now encourages the craziness. Because less and less people are participating. It's really unfortunate.
But I do think, too, the malformative trends aren't just restricted to the electorate, which we see dysfunction, right? We're talking about the dysfunction. There's also dysfunction within the government itself.
Oh, yeah.
Congress could use a pamphlet about its power, because we're almost seeing the branches of government ascribe their own powers to the other branches. We have a president who wants the Supreme Court to make laws. Congress is almost acting as if they're the ones who should be adjudicating the laws that the president makes or that the Supreme Court's going to decide. And I think we're seeing huge dysfunction within the government itself. The branches aren't operating the way they're supposed to.
No, they're clearly not. And I don't know, you know, I don't have a prescription on how to fix that, because the executive authority.
Like, we need a pamphlet for Congress. Like, yeah, seriously, the congressional members have no idea what they're supposed to do.
Or if they do, they're not doing it.
It.
You know, and you've got an expansionist executive branch, which is great when you have the power, and not so good otherwise. But the long term health to the country is not good when one branch, the executive branch, which already has got millions of employees in it, when you cede so much power to that one branch, and we have a Supreme Court presently that believes in expansionistic executive powers. And so, I mean, we are where we are.
Vote in primaries.
Please.
Hancock and Kelly with us, Chris and Amy on a Friday here. We have our question of the week results. We'll get to those and ask the guy's opinion on that question. Also, the NGA is opening today. It's happening today, and it's been a huge project that has been coming for a very long time. What's it mean for St. Louis? We'll get their thoughts on that as well. So,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The autumnal equinox happened recently, which means it's fall. Technically, it is fall.
That'd be a great name for a band.
Yeah, so...
Autumnal equinox.
Yes.
We had our question of the week then, because it's fall time, right?
Oh, yeah.
And September, October, November are basically fall. Which is the best fall month? And I said there's one that's going to run away with it, and the results are in. And in fact, October has won with 72% of the vote. September came in second with 16%, and November about 12%. Yeah. So I think all these months are great. September is the end of the regular season of baseball. Weather starts to cool. You get October then. Whew. October, the weather is getting perfect. Mm-hmm. You got Halloween.
Yeah.
You have all these fall fests that are starting.
Leaves are changing in October.
And November just has Thanksgiving. That's
it. Which is the best, but it kicks off the Christmas season.
Yeah. Which is also the best.
Which is the very best season, but that's not what we're talking about here. No. We're talking about more like meteorological seasons.
I'm for September.
What?
And the reason why is that I like to still have the summer days where it's going to be 85 degrees. I can get out there and play golf, etc. You may
this
get a
weekend.
Cool night where you can put a little hoodie on or something. My problem with October is I feel like everybody looks alike in October. The girls all get those jeans with the like the parka thing and then the brown hat and the boots that come up to your face, which is fun to see
brown
once
hat.
Or twice.
Brown hats.
But then when you go everywhere, everybody's wearing the same outfit. That's what I feel like. October is the start of the uniforms.
Where you get these brown hats from?
I don't know.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
These girls all dress alike in October.
It's like the knee-high boots.
You guys not pay attention to the girls?
Jeans, I know what you're talking about.
And like the sweaters and the ponchos and then the brown hat.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
And they're all named Ashley, but it's spelled like A-S-H-L-E-E-I-G-H, like a weird Ashley.
And then we do flannels.
Ashley?
And we
Ashley? Okay,
the
men
start to do flannels and vests. What's the big deal?
I know, but it's just, it's also like the harbinger for what we're about to do, which is to bundle up like, you know, Michelin
I love bundling
men.
Up. I think the more layers you have, the classier you look.
I agree with you.
12 pounds.
I agree with you. It's nice. All right, guys, before we say goodbye here, the NGA West facility, the campus is opening today. That's a project they've been working on for years. The point is to sort of revitalize that part of North St. Louis, pretty close to where it's on Jefferson. It's going to be pretty close to where Crown Candy is or is close to that. So how much it has not done much in the way of improving the surrounding areas. There hasn't been a whole lot of investment in the surrounding areas. Will that come?
Hope.
Yeah, I think it's possible. How many people they employ? Like thousands of people there, right?
Yeah, it's like 4,000 people.
And so you would think that that would be a place where restaurateurs would set up and maybe even a grocery store. You don't have a lot there. The key is going to be, you know, what they do with the properties, the troubled properties that are right there.
Right.
And the tornado, I think, struck through part of that area, part of that footprint. But if you had the question is, if you had a, you know, nice housing stock and it was a safe area, could that part of North St. Louis be reinvigorated? I think Yes.
I think anything that comes along with the revitalization is bonus and gravy on top of what's already happening, and that was the preservation of those jobs. And more importantly, the future of the world is around this mapping stuff and satellites, and that's what happens here. Our entire military government is dependent on it right here in North City. So it could potentially bring other businesses, satellite groups that would then be a part of it. So the biggest impact is inside of those walls, regardless whether or not we get the other stuff, which I'm hopeful comes.
Quick note on that as we say goodbye. I think Boeing suspending some of its F-18
production
mm-hmm. here for 2 years because of the union negotiations.
Well, I mean, that's what's being said. You'd have to believe them and take them at their word, but I don't think that you make long-term military decisions related to planes in the midst of a 60-day strike.
Well, and I got to think that the fact that some of these countries are securing their warplanes from elsewhere now because of tariff policy. I can't remember the country that just announced, but they're buying their fighter planes from elsewhere, and so I think that's probably
President Trump's tariffs
problematic.
Pile it on to something else that could be problematic for us. I think this will eventually get figured out. And look, the F-18 is
talking about Boeing.
Yes, the Boeing situation will get figured out. The F-18 is phasing out. The new plane is coming. They will be building this plane when our grandchildren are alive.
That'll be a news flash for
you already
buddy.
Have a grandchild.
None of us have kids.
Exactly. They'll be building it forever.
John's the only one.
And I'm already got grandchildren.
Hancock and Kelly, you're the best. Go do whatever it is you're about to do.
Yeah, see you guys.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.